prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 26, 2024. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing today?
Just great, thanks. Better.
What did you do at the weekend? I mean, it went by so fast. What did you do to it?
Was there one?
Yeah, I guess there was, but calendar says there was.
Oh, well.
How you feeling? Sound a little better.
That must have been fake news.
You sound a little better.
Yeah, doing better every day.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Good.
I think.
You still coughing some. I understand that.
Yeah. Yep, we do. So let's go ahead and get to the markets today. Gold was down 690, 2,042. You have silver. Well, let me get a different place here to get some better. 2,042, silver down 42 cents at $22.56. Platinum was down 25. They all got hammered today. 884, even palladium was down almost 3.5%, $33.34 at $963. But no fear for the paper markets. No. The Dow was down 62 points. The S&P was down 19, and the NASDAQ was down 20. European markets, Germany was higher by 4 points. Big, strong ups and downs. Everything else was in red territory. The Nikkei was up another 135 points. It's going to hit 40,000 before it reverses itself, that we know. And a little pressure on the Hang Seng and, of course, the Shanghai. 10-year yield, 4.28%. You know, that ticked a little bit higher. There's a lot of key economic data coming out this week. So, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know. Oil was up $1.16 at 77.65, and my natural gas was up $1 at 1.62. So there you have it. And, you know, day by day, Butch, day after day.
Yep. Plugging along, and, seemed like nothing changes, yet everything is changing. It's just amazing.
Maybe we need to have that song, Day by Day, singing a song. rolling along day by day. Singing a song.
And it changes so gradually sometimes. You don't notice until you look back on over a few years and realize how much things have changed.
Like, you know, and that's very
true. Like the price of gold and silver.
You know, that's very true. And that's a lot with our news also. And I saw the funniest report this morning. I was watching MSNBC. Now, people will say to me, Melanie, why do you watch that program for? Well, I'll tell you why. You have to. Even though I watch it for as long as I can. Let me put it that way. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes I can even watch it an hour, but rarely is it more than 10. But anyway, I decided to watch it this morning. And they had this woman on there, and I don't have the name of the book, but she was writing about the news. And she's writing about how, you know, all these lies that are being told over and over and over. And of course, MSNBC, all they do talk about is Donald Trump and all the bad things that he's done. That, I mean, they're 24/7 on Donald Trump. And it was funny because she even referenced Fox News. And they were talking about how if you continue to repeat something else, people will eventually begin to believe it. And I'm thinking to myself, do these people know not what they say? How many lies that they give out on a daily basis? And how many oftentimes they repeat things so often? I mean, it was the pot calling the kettle black? I mean, it was actually hilarious. Because they were all so serious about and cutting up all the, you know, various, you know, different news organizations, if that's what you want to call them. There's so many different ones out there. And yeah, a lot of them are rags, as they used to call them. You know, they're not any good. They're terrible. But people believe them. People believe a lot of this stuff. But it was just really funny watching them, and it just cracked me up because they're saying about how bad, you know, and yeah, I'm not a fan of Fox News. They do a lot of lying. They do have an agenda. That's why they keep repeating. But you know what? They probably tell a little bit more truthful things. And the best thing about Fox News is a lot of the times when their hosts start their programs with their little open, because a lot of it is very good, you know. And then when they start doing interviews and all that kind of stuff, and their opinions begin to, you know, feed through on the news, that's when I shut it off. The problem with all of this news is everything is opinions. There's so very little fact. And, you know, it was funny, I heard them actually correct themselves because they were saying that Donald Trump was guilty of rape. No, he wasn't. He was liable, but he wasn't guilty. He wasn't found guilty in a court of law. It was a civil suit. It wasn't a criminal suit. But yet you wouldn't know that. You figured he would have raped every woman on the planet. And yeah, do I believe, you know, men like Donald Trump and the power that they have? Are they able to have certain power over? Yeah, they do. You know, I get it. But on the other hand, you know, he was liable, but he was not criminally charged for rape. And in order for them to even do that, they changed the laws just temporarily just so they could get him. So, yes, it is all political, and it's all lies. And it was amazing, Butch, just to listen to these people talk about this as they were lying, as they were giving this report about lying.
You know, you have to wonder sometimes if they have done it for so long that they actually believe it themselves. Almost like self-hypnosis.
Yeah. I mean, Butch, it's like, what planet am I living on anymore?
I know. Believe me, I know.
I don't get it. I just don't get things, but anyway. All right.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right, I'll get started then. I'll go ahead and get some things done. We'll start again with
like
political
I don't?
News.
Like I don't? Well, or like I didn't?
Let's not, don't get me in that corner now. That's not fair. I'm Ellie. We do a good program together because I like doing work with you. I like to laugh with you. It makes the program go by better. I mean, we cover some serious stuff here. And you just covered a serious topic. We've been lied to for so long and lied to by the same people that I think they actually believe in their minds that they're telling the truth. And I actually believe that some of them think their opinion is the only one that matters.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Trump easily defeats Haley in her home state of South Carolina. Former President Donald Trump completely smoked Republican challenger Nikki Haley in her own state of South Carolina. Associated Press called the primary for Trump shortly after polls closed at 7 p.m. Eastern, making Haley the first major party candidate to lose her home state in the modern primary era. With an estimated 80% of the votes in, Trump led Haley by 60-39.4%. "There's a spirit that I've never seen," Trump told supporters at South Carolina State Fairgrounds in Columbia shortly after the race was called. "I've never seen the Republican Party so unified as it is now." Okay. All right. The crowd erupted in applause, with some screaming, "I love you." "This was a great moment in American history," said South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, who joined Trump on stage, adding, "We just hit maximum velocity." During the speech, Trump touched on the crisis at the southern border. "You look outside and you see all the horror. You see millions and millions of people coming across our border illegally," he said, emphasizing his plan to make America respected again if he's reelected. "Right now, we are laughing stock around the world. We are going to be respected again, respected like never before." Haley's not dropped out. Meanwhile, Haley's moving on to Michigan on Sunday, despite the staggering and humiliating loss in her home state primary, insisting that regardless of how she does in her own state, she'll move on to Super Tuesday on March 5th. And, folks, that's almost here. I mean, you were talking about, a week away or so. It's almost here. So will she go stay in after that? I don't know. I don't see a snowball's chance of gaining ground. But we'll see. What do you think, Melody?
I just have, I probably alienated so many Trump followers, and I don't mean to. These are just questions. And again, why do all of these politicians that are running against President Trump, why do they hire the same campaign managers that use the same campaign tricks and thinks it's going to make a difference? It's insane. But they use the same tactics. They use the same thinking that they're going to be able to beat Donald Trump. So my question is, do they really want to beat Donald Trump? Are their campaigns infiltrated? Who are these people running these campaigns? They're complete failures. It's not that hard. Butch, it wouldn't be that hard to beat Donald Trump. But none of them do what needs to be done. Again, they use the same tactics, same campaign, and they think they're going to get a different result. I don't like to use the word stupid, but how stupid are these people? And these are the ones that want to run your nation?
Yes. Oh, wow. Wow. Well,
I don't get it. It's another thing I don't get.
There's a lot of things
Donald
I don't
Trump
understand.
Isn't hard to beat. He wouldn't be difficult to beat. But anyway.
Well, something did happen and happened for a long time. Teamster Union makes first major GOP donation since 2004 following Trump meeting. Weeks after a meeting between former President Donald Trump and Teamster Union leaders, including President Sean O'Brien and Secretary Treasurer Fred Zuckerman, along with the union's executive board at their Washington, D.C. headquarters, America's most powerful labor union has made the first major donation to Republicans in two decades. This move has sparked huge concern that unions are losing faith in President Biden, lauded as the most pro-union president ever. According to Axios, the Teamsters Political Committee donated $45,000, the maximum amount permitted to Republican National Committee. This was the first big donation UNIT made in to the RNC since 2004, 20 years ago. So, obviously, they're unimpressed with Biden, and I assume impressed with Trump. So, I don't know. We'll see.
How could anybody be impressed with Biden?
Yeah, I understand. If you like, yeah, let's not even go there. But anyway, I mean, just think. You never know. You know, his vice president might run for president. You never know. Gee whiz, how lucky can we get? But anyway, anything you want to add to that?
No.
We're seeing a move now more than in a serious way than I've ever seen, I think, in many, many years with the states' rights movement. Utah says, the heck with the feds, only they didn't say heck. Utah reasserts state powers with Sovereignty Act to overrule federal government. And folks, I'm just going to say like it is. According to the Constitution, if it were still in effect, Article 10 gives the states the power over the federal government, period, because they created the federal government. The creation cannot be greater than a creator. And the states created the federal government. So they always had a sovereignty and authority over the feds. But nonetheless, the Utah legislature passed the Utah Constitutional Sovereignty Act in late January, and on the 31st, it was signed into law by Republican Governor Spencer Cox. The new law, which has garnered national media scrutiny, provides a legal framework for Utah officials to refuse the enforcement or assistance of federal government actions that violate the state's sovereignty. According to this text, of the bill SB 57, establishes a framework for the legislature by concurrent resolution to prohibit the enforcement of federal directives within the state by government officials or officers if the legislature determines a federal directive and violates principles of state sovereignty. The bill can be acted upon if, it says, a federal directive violates principles of state sovereignty, if the federal directive restricts or infringes upon a power or right reserved to the state by the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution, or the state's rights or interests to provide for the health, safety, and welfare and promote the prosperity of the state's inhabitants. In a statement released with the signing, Cox explained, balancing power between state and federal sovereignty is an essential part of a constitutional system. This legislation gives us another way to push back on federal overreach and maintain that balance. Critics of the bill, such as Democratic gubernatorial hopeful Representative Brian King, have suggested that any issues Utah may have with the federal government should be adjudicated exclusively in federal court and not legislation. That is such a stupid statement. Why do you take the fox to the fox's lair to have a trial? I mean, that is so insane. It should be adjudicated. Any trouble with the Fed should be adjudicated in federal court. Well, that just doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
I mean, this Brian King, I don't know if he's intentionally that ignorant or really is that ignorant. He said I was and still am worried that the bill is going to be used as a political or partisan goggle and opposed to a dispassionate and analytical tool, he said. The state's rights is a absolute, if you still believe in the Constitution, law in the Constitution. Article 10 says so very clearly. It even makes another statement that the final authority comes down to the people. Folks, read it for yourself, Article 10. So this Representative Brian King is either ignorant, brainwashed, I don't know what else word to say. Hey, I'm like Mel, I don't like to use the word stupid, but the shoe fits. Okay, Mel, go ahead.
What was that old Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. After all of this, after all we're seeing happening, how can we deny that either these people are totally ignorant or they are stupid? You know, ignorance can be cured. Stupidity's forever. So this is a sad state of affairs. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17, the U.S. Constitution clearly states that the federal government has no authority. Now, folks, it's in your Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17. The federal government has no authority outside 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., or on federal properties ceded by the states to the federal government for post offices, forts, or whatever. So the power of the federal government in the states is very, very limited according to the Constitution. They have no authority to make laws outside 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. Now, you look it up in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17. I quoted it one time to a Secret Service agent, and they mailed it into the woodwork. That's just the way it is. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, I think we're at break now, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Okay. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, Butch.
Any specials this month or next month?
Oh, there's going to be a ton of specials next month.
Okay.
But we still have a week to go in this month, so or
we
a
do.
Few days anyway. Being a leap year, we're going to leap
right
into March.
Right. There you go. Well, see, next month it'll be buy one, get two free. I hear you. I like that.
Oh, is that what it's going to be?
Oh, yeah. We
yeah,
can
for the
room.
Price. Triple the price. Yeah, you bet. You betcha.
This is going to affect us U.S. sooner or later. India makes huge announcement about BRICS expansion. This is out of Reuters. India's Foreign Minister, Affairs Minister, S. Charsehankar, confirmed in the latest interview that BRICS is looking at a new expansion in 2024. He explained that nearly 30 countries are ready to join the bloc and add something new to the table. 30 nations, that's a huge bloc of nations, people. The minister said that the desire of new countries to join BRICS shows the value and usefulness of the bloc. We tested it last year in the market, asking how many want to join BRICS. We got almost 30 countries who are willing to join BRICS. Clearly, 30 countries saw the value in it. There must be something good with that. Therefore, reading between the lines, a new round of BRICS expansion could be on the cards this year in 2024. The coming 16th BRICS summit will be held in October this year in the Kazan region of Russia. Another new round of expansion could be taken in the next BRICS summit this year. Folks, if this does come together and they get any sort of clout in the world economy, and they will with how many nations, it's going to affect our prices in this country tremendously because we produce very little. Most things you purchase, from food to clothing to cars, everything else, are manufactured at least in part in other countries that now use a dollar for the minimum exchange. If that changes, Melody, I think we'll see some very high prices. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's not even just the prices, Butch. It's the availability. You know, because, these are all probably, I haven't seen the list of countries, but I'm sure many of them are Asian, you know, in that little block, Latin America. You know, China has been going into all of these countries, bailing them out, giving them money. So they're beholden to China. The only thing that the United States has on their side is India, because India still does enough with the U.S. that they don't want to, you know, they don't want to ruin that relationship. So, you know, they have pulled back a little bit I don't know how much they pulled back, but they stood their ground against China for some things in the past. So don't know if it'll continue, but because India is in dire need of jobs and so forth. So, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, moreover than price, Butch, is the availability. I mean, I was just reading. I have an article here now. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not sure if we talked about it on this program or not. But I have it available to talk to. I'm not an Adderall fan, you know. But there's 600 million doses missing. Do I think this drug was overprescribed? Absolutely. Is it a date? Absolutely. But there are people who are dependent upon it that does work for them. But the whole point is whether what you feel about the drug itself, it isn't there. It's not available. You have the generic Concerta, Ritalin, and another one. There's a huge global shortage of drugs. How often do we talk about, and that's, is it by design? Is it by choice? Why would there be a shortage? You can't manufacture them enough, but yet you can manufacture all the, you know, computer chips and everything else that they need to put stuff up in space. I don't know, Butch. To me, that's a more dangerous is control of some very important items. We talked about prescriptions coming from China and their ability to control it. What about everything else? It's that's scary. That's, people will die on that. People won't die on overpriced TVs.
Good point. One thing about it, it's not there. You can't buy at any price, can you?
No, but you're not going to die from it. But your medicines,
but the medicine, that's
food,
what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Dangerous. Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
We let it happen to our country. Basically, in my lifetime, the last quarter of a century, we watched this happen to America. From basically an independent nation, fed itself, clothed itself, made its own vehicles, its own automobiles, its own home manufacturing, we went down to nothing as a nation, but a consumer nation. That's so sad.
And we're beholden to a communist nation.
Yes, we are.
Everything that the United States has once fought against.
A nation that used to be our friends now hate us.
Now we're partners.
A nation used to be our friends, now hate us. Nation used to buy from, no longer really respect the United States. That's where we are. Consumers pushing back against price increases and winning. Inflation has changed the way many Americans shop. Now those changes in consumer habits are helping bring down inflation. Fed up with the prices that remain about 19% on average above where they were before the pandemic, consumers are fighting back. In grocery stores, they're shifting away from name brands to store brand items, switching to discount stores, or simply buying fewer items like snacks or gourmet foods. More Americans are buying used cars, too, rather than new, forcing some dealers to provide discounts on new cars again. But the growing consumer pushback to what critics condemn as price gouging has been most evident with food, as well with consumer goods like paper towels and napkins. In recent months, consumer resistance has led to large food companies to respond by sharply lowering their price, the price increases from the peaks of the last 3 years. This doesn't mean grocery prices will fall back to their levels of a few years ago, though with some items, including eggs, apples, and milk, prices are below their peaks. So maybe that is slowing things down a little bit, and I'm sure that it is. Not enough that I can tell a big difference when I go to the store yet. I do know that that's right. I've passed up things I used to buy, snacks and things that probably didn't eat anyway, and got to be so pricey that I just walk by them now. I don't buy them. Maybe it's starting to tell in the manufacturer's bottom line. Perhaps. But if they raise the prices, did they do it because they wanted to, because their costs went up? Somebody got to ask yourself, if their costs went up, they got to pass it on. But their price gouging, that's a whole different ballgame. What do you think, Melody?
I don't think too many are actually price gouging. I mean, that's, you know, they could be, but, you know, everything is going up. But it's easier to, people understand price gouging. People do not understand inflation. So, you know, and you know, that's one thing why I know you don't do it, but I check myself out at the grocery store anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can use a whole lot more of those plastic bags, and it makes me look like I bought more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to be quite honest with you. I grocery shop online. I pre-order it and then pick it up. But anyway. And I found out that I spend less doing that because I don't see things in store as a whim that I think I need. But anyway.
I do most of that, too. You know, where I just order it and then I go pick it up.
Yep.
It's just easier. And you're right, you don't spend as much.
Tragic and embarrassing. San Francisco hardware store implements one-on-one shopping with employee escort due to rampant shoplifting. Wow. That's gonna put the, I would think that would cost, make things cost more. They got to pay a full-time employee to walk with the customers. Today, in the de-evolution of Western society's news, one store in San Francisco is fighting back against rampant theft and looting by requiring the customer shop with an in-store escort. Fredericton's Hardware and Paint in Calhalla is now requiring customers to be accompanied by an employee while shopping to combat widespread shoplifting, according to the New York Post. The store has implemented a policy of serving customers one at a time during specific hours, restricted access to parts of the store, creating a designated waiting area for shoppers until they can be assisted, as first reported by KRONN4. A sign at the store says, "Attention shoppers." Due to the rampant shoplifting, Fredericton's has introduced a one-on-one shopping experience. Wait here, and the clerk will be right back with you to help you with all your shopping needs. Manager Sam Black commented, "It's pretty bad. I mean, the dollar amounts are pretty significant. And with the tools, and now we're getting snatch and grabs when they take a whole displays, so it's getting kind of dangerous for the employees and the customers. We just want to make it uncomfortable for the thieves so they go elsewhere, somewhere else," he added. "Yeah, people aren't happy. The regulars can't believe it's like we can't believe it, but they've been really understanding." That would be somewhat of an insult to customers who've been there for years. But you can also see the side of the store where they're losing money because people are stealing from them, and they're doing their best to cut back on that. So that's a tough call, Melody. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. No comment.
Okay. Skyrocketing home insurance rates may trigger exodus from 10 U.S. cities. Americans working toward having a place of their own are now apparently facing higher home insurance premiums. A report from the insurance comparison website called Insurify and the price tag for home insurance on property at value of $300,000 increased 12% in 2023. The outlet said home insurance is even more pricey for people living in states where they regularly experience severe weather because these areas are deemed high risk and insurance companies do not see a way to benefit. A growing number of insurance companies are going to leave states like California and Florida, driving prices even higher for homeowners. It then listed states where people can expect to pay the highest home insurance premiums: Florida, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Texas, Kansas, Georgia, Nebraska, Massachusetts, New York, and Colorado are the ones who are going to see the highest prices go up in home insurance. So, that's another catch-22. What are you supposed to do? If the companies leave the state, who are you going to buy it from? The ones left behind are going to raise prices, of course, obviously, because they probably need the higher premiums. And, obviously, they can because you need insurance. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, they really do need to begin to repackaging these homeowner policies and so forth accordingly to, you know, because, you know, they give these, you know, and I've spent, what, 13 years in the insurance business. And, you know, they have these homeowner packages, you know, where, you know, if you have a high dollar home, you automatically get what? I mean, I haven't really looked at one lately, so I should before I go on and saying this, but you get what, 50% of your home value and personal property? Well, how much do people have or really need? So just cover this, just cover the house. Give me a break. Let it be affordable. Cover the home replacement. Then let me choose how much personal property on my own I want insured. Just don't give me a package. You know? And they don't allow you to tailor make these homeowner policies. You get it whether you want it or not. And so there's a lot that they could do. But they don't. Why should they?
I guess they make more money doing it their way.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, government bails them out anyway. Why do we have FEMA? To help the insurance companies. It's not to help people. It's to help the insurance companies. The system is just messed up. And it's too big to be fixed. And the only ones that are going to pay are you and me.
That's right.
That's it. So get used to it. That's all I can say.
Anytime you say government pays, that means we pay.
Absolutely.
Mercedes-Benz scraps plans to make only electric cars due to market conditions. Good. Mercedes-Benz has backtracked on their plan to transition to selling only electric vehicles after 2030, with company officials saying that market conditions have not allowed that to happen. It was just 3 years ago when the German luxury vehicle manufacturer announced that it was going to go all electric, The Verge reported at the time. The company said it would commit $47 billion to electrifying its fleet, with CEO and board chair Ola Cornelius saying, "We are convinced we can do it with strong profitability. We believe that focus on electrical is the right way to build a successful future and to enhance the value of Mercedes-Benz." Those plans were scrapped this week in the company's fourth quarter earnings statement. Customers and market conditions will set the pace of the transformation. The company plans to be in a position to cater to different customer needs, whether it's an all-electric drivetrain or electrified combustion engine, until well into the 2030s. So, oh my, manufacturers have taken a beating on electric cars. And I it doesn't break my heart at all. What do you think, Melody?
Well, no. I mean, again, I like the idea of electric vehicles, but don't throw it down my throat. Don't stop everything else that makes it more expensive. Let me purchase it on my own if I want to, and improve. The manufacturers need to improve and pay for their own charging systems and get the system in place so that people would feel good about buying them and everything. So, you know, kudos.
And if electric grid goes down, nobody drives.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, you can put gas back in 55-gallon drums.
It's also great control. Yeah, that's great control, isn't it?
It is. You can put gasoline back and store it for a while, but it's hard to store electricity. It really is.
Yeah.
I know we're going to break in a second. But, folks, those are things to consider. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have an electric car. But the power goes off, you don't have a car. You have a piece of metal sitting there doing nothing. With the gasoline vehicle, you can at least put some gas back in a can and have some for a spare if you need it. But electricity, unless you can produce your own somehow, and I don't think most solar systems will charge too many electric cars. I really don't. So prepare yourself. Be wise what you're doing. Don't be suckered in these things. I like the idea. Maybe I've seen some cars now that are gasoline and electric. I don't know how they work. That may be an option. Produce the electricity when you're driving it. I don't know. I haven't looked into it deep enough. But all electric, no.
I hear the music. It's going by fast. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. I was a little distracted there, Butch, but hey,
that's
welcome
right.
back.
You must saw a squirrel.
I did.
You remember that show?
I
can't remember the name of it. There was one show, it's a cartoon I saw years ago, where I think it's called Up. They're talking about dog saw a squirrel. Squirrel! I've never got that. I just like that. So anytime I see a squirrel, I say, squirrel. But anyway, must be a squirrel passed by your window. But anyway.
Yep. Flew right by my office window.
Oil tanker shortage emerges after Red Sea crisis disrupts global trade. And I'm still amazed when I'm seeing this in oil prices, much more than you already have. I'm amazed at that. The Red Sea shipping crisis has been an explosive mess for the international shipping community and the global economy, with oil tankers increasingly steering clear of the southern Red Sea and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Shipping capacity has rapidly tightened, pressuring at daily rates higher. Bloomberg reports only two new supertankers will join the global fleet in 2024, the fewest additions in 40 years, but 90% below the yearly average over the last two decades. That's huge. The impact of the diversions can be seen every day in shipping in general. And I would say crude oil and product tankers shipping, specifically Alexander Savage, CEO of Urinov NV, one of the largest tanker owners in the world, told investors during an earnings call early this month. We have stated that Houthi attacks on commercial shipping are the next supply-driven inflation shock. As a result, a key clean tanker rates tracked by the Baltic Exchange, have moved north of $100,000 per day due to disruptions, caused longer sales, which tightens capacity on the seas. So, and by the way, the U.S. and U.K. airstrikes on Houthi militants in Yemen have sent the tanker rates soaring in the last half of January. So, I don't know, folks. I can't imagine why the prices have not went up more in fuel and other goods. It's about $78 a barrel now, and we would think with all this going on, it'd be closer to 100. Nothing seems to faze it too much. What do you think about that, Melody?
Yeah, it really is kind of interesting that nothing seems to affect the price of oil. But then again, I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes, especially with what's going on with Israel and the Saudis. And so, you know, I don't know what it is, but yeah, there's a lot that is not making sense in that area.
Normally, if somebody would have mentioned war in the Middle East, prices would have soared. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, along with gold prices.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? It used to be, you know, if one of Israel's soldiers were, someone threw a stone at him, gold would go up. $20 and, you know, oil prices would rise.
Pretty
now
strange.
Look at what's happening, and it doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
No,
who cares?
Really. No.
No.
Mm-mm. Border Patrol drops hundreds of migrants at bus stop in San Diego after $6 million in funds from the county runs dry. Folks, we're talking about people in America. Illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, being dumped off randomly because they had nothing else to do with them. Buses carrying hundreds of migrants, or should I say illegals, from several countries were released at his bus stop after San Diego reportedly ran out of aid money. According to NBC News, the migrants were dropped off at a random bus instead of a reception center that previously served as a staging area. The city of San Diego, one of the largest cities on the southern border, ran out of local funding sooner than expected due to the unprecedented influx of migrants. With the local funding no longer a viable option, migrant aid groups and advocates scrambled to help out with makeshift arrangements. The buses, operated by Border Patrol agents, were reportedly carrying migrants or illegals from Senegal, China. Now listen, folks. Senegal, China, Ecuador, Rwanda, and several other countries. They're not just coming from South America. Since October 2023, San Diego County has given $6 million in aid to South Bay Community Services to help support their nonprofit in providing phone charging stations, food, travel advice, and other services at the former elementary school. The initial plan was to keep the staging area open through March 2024, but as of Thursday, February 22nd, the nonprofit ran out of funds. After leaving a processing facility on Friday, February 23rd, hundreds of migrants were dropped at the sidewalk bus stop amid office parks in San Diego with notices to appear in immigration court. Sure they will. They're just waiting to get in immigration court. Of course they are. Gee. Oh, my, Melody. What do you think?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you hear so many more and more stories it's just mind-boggling. It truly is.
And, of course, the news now was the illegal alien that killed the young girl in Georgia. People are outraged. At least they say they are. And they should be. Although I take normally what a politician says, I hate to say this, I guess I'm very skeptical of most things with the politicians, but I take it with a grain of salt. Is the governor really upset or just wanting to hold office again? I don't know. It's just my opinion. What do you think about that?
Either or.
Either or.
Pick one.
Pick one. Netanyahu says hostage deal will delay Rafah operation. He's written that's softer than it had been. For a little while, he said nothing will stop it. But now he said maybe. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gives statements to the media inside the Kara, which houses the Israeli Defense Ministry, in Tel Aviv on October 12, 2023. So the picture I'm talking there. And he said back then he said nothing's going to stop all this. But anyway, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told CBS Face Nation on Sunday that a hostage deal between Israel and Hamas will delay a an IDF operation in Rafah, but stressed Israel will still conduct the operation later. The Biden administration is working to reach a hostage deal that would lead to at least 6 weeks of ceasefire in Gaza. We really need this deal because we really need this pause, U.S. official told Axios on Saturday. The Biden administration is highly concerned about the possible Israeli military operation in Rafah, where over 1 million Palestinians are living. The U.S. fears the operation could move forward within weeks if a hostage deal isn't achieved. U.S. Hatari Egyptian officials and Egyptian officials presented a more detailed framework for a hostage deal to Israeli negotiators during a key meeting in Paris on Friday. Updated framework proposed that Hamas release roughly 40 hostages held in Gaza in exchange for a six-week ceasefire and the freeing of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. The deal will also allow some Palestinians to begin returning to northern Gaza. Melody, why did they have to go back to northern Gaza? Netanyahu said that they're not going to give it back to them? Wasn't that part of the thing he said? They're not going to have another chance for Hamas to go back in Gaza? And they're already selling off property they don't even own in the Gaza Strip. So where are the people going to go back to Gaza? What are they going to do?
Rent to them?
I guess. I suppose, but it's really something. They fled to southernmost part of Gaza trying to escape this. Now they won't go back. I don't know. Former Prime Minister urges Israelis to besiege the Knesset, I can't say the word, the K-N-E-S-S-E-T, to oust Netanyahu. This week has been large, tumultuous, and anti-Netanyahu protests in Tel Aviv led by families of hostages and victims on October 7th. The families have long demanded that the government get more serious about another hostage-prisoner exchange. They've accused Prime Minister of intentionally thwarting a deal for the sake of prolonging the war and in turn prolonging his hold on power. The scene grew violent Saturday as riot police on horseback charged demonstrators in a central Tel Aviv square. Police also used water cannons against protect protesters. Netanyahu tried to calm the rising anger directed against him by a statement on X saying, "We are working to obtain another outline for the release of our hostages. That is why I sent the delegation of Paris, and tonight we will discuss the next steps in negotiations." Ehud Barak says Israelis need to protest outside their parliament day and night to help bring an end to Netanyahu's rule. Barak, who served as Israel's prime minister from 1999-2001, added that demonstrations should go on until Netanyahu understands that this time is up, the public no longer trusts him. When the state is shut down, Netanyahu realizes his time is up, he told Army Radio, as reported by Jerusalem Post newspaper. So Netanyahu's getting to be not a very well-liked individual in his own country. And I think people are getting fed up with his war-mongering ways. Comments, Melody?
Well, I don't know why that's any surprise to him. I mean, he's no different than he always was. I mean, he was always a warmonger. So, I mean, you know.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Zelensky says 31,000 Ukrainian soldiers killed since Russia invaded. I like to believe he's telling the truth in that, but I think it's higher than that. This is my opinion. But President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Sunday that 31,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed since Russia's full-scale invasion 2 years ago, giving the first official figure for more than a year. Zelensky told the news conference in Kyiv that he would not disclose the number of wounded because it would help Russia in military planning. 31,000 Ukrainian troops have been killed this year. Not 300,000, not 150,000, as Putin is lying there. But nevertheless, this is a big loss for us. It makes you wonder, because they've already killed around 30,000 Gazans in a matter of a couple months. So if they only lost 31,000 in this war of over 2 years with Russia, that's a very low number. It's sad, but it's a very low number. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think we're getting any truth coming out of there. We really don't know, you know, what's going on and... You know, what are the real numbers?
We'll probably never know.
We'll never know. I don't think you know in any war. But it's usually, I would think, worse than what they release. Or they over-exaggerate. I don't know, depending on what they're wanting.
But. CIA built 12 secret spy bases in Ukraine and waged shadow war for the last decade. Bombshell New York Times report confirms. That shouldn't surprise us. On Sunday, the New York Times published an explosive and very belated full admission that U.S. intelligence has not only been instrumental in Ukraine wartime decision-making, but has established and financed high-tech command and control spy centers and was doing so long prior to the February 24th Russian invasion of 2 years ago. Among the biggest revelations is that a program was established a decade ago and spans three different American presidents. The Times said the CIA program to modernize Ukraine's intelligence services has transformed the former Soviet state and its capabilities into Washington's most important intelligence partners against the Kremlin today. This has included the agency having secretly trained and equipped Ukrainian intelligence officers, spanning back to just after 2014, a maiden coup events, as well as constructing a network of 12 secret bases along the Russian border, work which began 8 years ago. These intelligence bases, from with Russia commanders' communications can be swept up in Russia's spy satellites unmonitored, are being used to launch and track cross-border drone and missile attacks on the Russian territory. This means that with the disclosure of the long-time closely guarded secret, the world just got a big step closer to World War III, given it means the CIA is largely responsible for the effectiveness of this recent spike of attacks, which have included direct drone hits on the key oil refineries and energy infrastructure. Without them, the CIA and elite commandos is trained, there would have been no way for us to resist Russians or to beat them, according to Ivan Barkhanov, former head of SBU, which is Ukraine's domestic intelligence agency. So there you go. It's a lot more involved than we will ever know. And the CIA, surprise, surprise, was in on this a decade ago. And folks, they've done that all over the world. In almost every nation that we've been involved in, the CIA has led to the revolutions and the wars that broke out in those countries. Melody, go ahead.
You know, and it truly is amazing. You know, I think we're seeing the same thing with what's happening in Russia with the guy that just was murdered in prison.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I really don't believe Zelensky. Well, I shouldn't say this. It's my opinion and with nothing to back it up. But, you know, we complain about those people who have opinions and don't have anything to back it up. But I don't know. It's just, I mean, when you think about where Zelensky's came from, he was a comedian, you know, and now he's in charge of a war. Really? That'd be like you and me, Butch.
You know? I actually think we could do better.
Probably, but I'm just saying, you know, he was a comedian, a clown.
Yes, he was. He was.
And now, what are the real reasons Ukraine is losing and going through so much, you know, weaponry and money? Or who's really fighting the war for him? Just
good question.
Just my thoughts.
A good question. We're down the last few seconds, so it's all yours to wrap it up.
Oh, we are. Wow. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe out there tonight. And look over your gold and silver desires and wishes and give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. Have a great evening.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.